Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there, boys and girls. You get me on the phone. As well as, I think I'm not going to do that part. I'm recording this on video as well as here on audio for my Blog Talk tree disconnected. Okay, Blog Talk Chat's having some issues today. But anyway, that's okay. I'll just use this one. How are y'all doing today? This is a beautiful Monday here in South Alabama. And I think I'm going to quit that one. There. I'm just going to do the audio. It's easier today. It's a beautiful day here in South Alabama. And as I've been sitting here looking out the window by my desk, I've been having some thinking going on, some pondering. Y'all know I love to ponder. And I do want to play my intro and give my sponsors a shout out. And we'll be right back after this sponsor intro.
You are listening to the Awakened Radio Network at awakenedradio.net. You can also listen through the TuneIn application on your mobile device, or for the archive, go to iTunes and look for Awakened Radio and Donna DeVoe. The Awakened Radio Network is brought to you in part by Organic Sulfur for Health. Organic Sulfur, the number 4, health.com, where beauty and health is natural and organic. Awaken Radio is also brought to you in part by ConsciousnessPower.com, where you get all the tools you need to transform your life, make changes from the inside out, where they're really powerful and permanent.
And we're back. I am Donna Devine, the Barefoot Guru, and your host for this podcast episode. Thank you so much for joining me. And however you listen, whether you listen on Blog Talk or TuneIn or iTunes or Awakened Radio, thank you so much. I do appreciate your listening. And I would appreciate some feedback from you. What are you getting out of these messages? Is there something specific that you would like for me to discuss? Wherever you are, if there is the ability for you to comment, please do so. You can also send me an email at awakenedradio@gmail.com. Today I want to talk about judgments. Why do we judge others? And notice, stop beating yourself up. And this came about this morning as I was sitting here looking out my window and, you know, just noticing things. What are judgments? Well, judgments primarily, the way that we think about them, are things that we determine to be bad. But we make judgments all day long. This is good, this is bad, that's pretty, that's ugly, this is good-tasting food, bad-tasting food, nice-looking outfit, not-so-nice-looking outfit. We get a lot of our preferences wrapped up into our judgments, and that's fine. You know, there are a lot of things I prefer. If for those of you who've read my book, you know that I do not prefer liver and onions. But I do not get over into judgment, determining that it's a horrible, horrible thing and we should oppose it and wipe it off the planet. That's the type of judgments I want to talk about today. When we take a preference and we turn it into a war that we declare on other people, and where does it come from? I mean, really, you know, have you ever been sitting in a restaurant or looking at something on the internet and had this series of thoughts go through your head. Oh, my God. You know, look at her. Look at him. I can't believe that. And I'll give you an example of how we do this. Have you ever seen any of those compilations of the People of Walmart? I think that's what they're called, People of Walmart. And someone has gone to the trouble, I don't know where they get the pictures from, but of finding people who are of large body size, dressed in really outrageous ways, and putting them together. And people are supposed to look at them and find fault and judge those people as less. Now, where does this come from? Our society does this all the time. If you look at beauty magazines, the message is you don't measure up. That's the hidden message. You don't measure up, but go buy our product, buy our widget, and you will measure up. We women see that a lot, makeup, hair, clothes, the cars we drive. Guys get that, the cars you drive, you know, the jobs you work. If you want to measure up, buy our widget. Our society is based upon these judgments, even religious judgments and political judgments. I get so tickled. I love social networks. I do. I love social networks. And a lot of my topics for books, videos, and podcasts and radio shows actually come about from me being on social networks. You know, I watch, you know, the religious debating, and not really even debating, they're arguing with one another over whose God's better. You know, is it the Christian God, the Muslim God, is it the, you know, whatever. We see the same thing with politics. You know, if you happen to be a Republican, then there's a whole lot of judgment going on that all liberals are bad, stupid, dumb. And if you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat, of course the same is true of the Republican side. Where is this coming from? Now, if we sit and we're honest, we can look at it and see that this type of judgmental behavior is very detrimental to our society. It keeps us at one another's throats. It keeps us arguing. It keeps us divided. It keeps us from being able to work together to solve problems. Now, we can go into conspiracy theorist mode and say that's the point. You know, that's the point of it. And historically, that is the point of it. If the people are working against one another, if they are falling for the dogma, whether it's religious or whether it's political or whether it's my tribe is better than your tribe, as long as humanity is falling for that divide and conquer dogma, then we will not stand together. We will not work together. We will not make the improvements in our societies, in our world, that most of us want. Most of us want to be healthy, to be happy, to have good relationships, to have wonderful food, to have nice clothing, to have transportation. Those are things that we all want. But we keep working against one another. Can you imagine a world where 7 billion people are in agreement, where 4 billion out of the 7 billion people are in agreement that we are all valuable, that we are all beautiful, that we are all powerful, we are all creative source energy, that there is more than enough of all the goodies in the world to go around, that we can stand together, work together, play together, enjoy being on this planet together. Can you imagine a world where even half or a third of the world's population agrees that what we have in common far outranks our few little differences? Now, if you can imagine that kind of world, then you will see why bankers and corporate entities and governments and religions are terrified of us coming into that agreement with one another. There would be no reason for any of those things. Wouldn't need government. Wouldn't need religions. Wouldn't need political parties. Wouldn't need powerful CEOs and lobbyists to Congress. Because we would be regulating ourselves based on what is best for all of us, for the planet, for the humans, for the animals, for the plants, for the water, for the air. So if you can imagine that for a few minutes, you can see why historically what is being played out right now is just a rerun. There's nothing new under the sun, boys and girls. There's nothing new under the sun. New technology, maybe, but the mindset is the same. Keep the people divided. Keep them judging one another. And even maybe more importantly, keep the people judging themselves, finding themselves lacking. What is politics and religion about at its core? It is about we're lacking. From a religious standpoint, we're not quite good enough. We're sinful. We've done something wrong, and we need forgiveness. We need atonement. We need salvation. And we need some person or persons to stand in the gap between us and God, to help us find the way to be worthy of God's love and grace. From a religion, from a political standpoint, we are not capable of governing ourselves. We need all manner of governmental authorities to make laws, make rules, and to enforce them, because we do not know what is best for us. We cannot take care of our own business. We can't raise our own children. We cannot make decisions for our own lives. We cannot take care of one another. We must have government to do so. Does that sound familiar? Now, there's nothing new about it. Not a thing in the world is new about that. But let me throw in a little monkey wrench. What if we were to begin looking at all of this programming, this brain training, as I've called it over the years, and we were to see it for what it is, a way to keep us acting as though, believing as though, we have no power whatsoever. Now, a powerless people will always look to be ruled by religion and or politics. Always. You don't feel safe. You don't feel smart. You don't feel capable. You don't feel loved. Somebody somewhere has got to be there to show you the way. Now, let's go look back at the judgments that I'm talking about today. Have you noticed how often you find something wrong with people you don't even know? Now, this is my description for today's talk. Do you notice those thoughts and feelings about how others look, dress, live? Where does this come from? Why do we find fault in others and jump to conclusions about their worth based on how they look or speak? Judgment comes from within us. We are finding fault with self, and it is showing up as we criticize others. That level of bitterness and fear is stored within, facing our own inner fault finder, and freeing ourselves to be worthy, valuable, and beautiful sets us up for a beautiful life. And I'm seeing some misspellings in there. The autocorrect did not work. I'm going to go back and fix that. I'm my own grammar Nazi this morning. But where is this coming from? If you think back to when you were a child, how many messages did you receive that helped you to form the opinion, the belief of yourself that you were not enough? You were not pretty enough, smart enough, good enough, brave enough, strong enough. You were not enough. And as you begin your life with these messages of I'm not enough, there's something wrong with me, then you go out into the world with these beliefs, and guess what happens? You create your life experiences to prove to you that your belief systems are entirely correct. Then, lo and behold, you begin defending your self-defeating beliefs. You get into arguments. You unfriend people on Facebook. You stop following people on Twitter because they have a different opinion, a different belief system than you. And your inner fault finder that says, I'm not good enough, I'm not all that in a bag of chips, lashes out, presenting itself, showing itself, revealing to you that you're in self-judgment. But see, here's what happens. Most of the time, we don't see our judgments and criticisms of others as a perfect reflection of judging and criticizing ourselves. We're looking at others and finding fault, judging, criticizing them, because looking at them, noticing them, is rocking our boat. It's putting you in that place to where you are feeling uncomfortable with your own belief systems, with your own self, but rather than taking note of that and healing that, you strike out at others instead. And for a brief moment, you may feel stronger, you may feel more powerful, you may feel more in charge, but it only lasts for just that brief moment. When we begin to take note of our resentments, our bitterness, our judgments, our criticisms of other people, we lump them all into a category because what they are doing, noticing their difference, creates a discomfort within us because we're not comfortable with ourselves. We are not feeling free to express ourselves in our own unique way, with our own unique opinion, our own unique way of showing the world who we are. Now, what would happen? You know, and we can look at the gay thing. We can look at the transgender thing. Those are things that are happening right now. Who cares where people go to the bathroom? I mean, seriously. Who cares where people go to the bathroom? Who cares whether gay people want to eat Chick-fil-A or they want somebody to bake them a cake? Why should we care? Why should we feel that we've got to stand up for a bakery who says, no, I cannot make you a cake because you're gay and I'm Christian and that's against my beliefs? And then we've got this divide of those who feel that they've got to defend the people who refuse to make the cake, and then we've got the people on the other side who feel they have got to defend the rights of the gay people who wanted to get married and just wanted a cake. Why do we get caught up in that? Why, you know, and I hear these arguments from the straight Christian community, you know, well, it's an affront to the family. It's a threat to marriage. What? How? How can someone else doing anything affect my straightness, my marriage, my family? Now, way back in the day, we used to call that, hey, guest, we used to call that giving our power away. Today, we call it defending our personal freedom of speech, defending our beliefs. But what if, and I've asked this question numerous times over the years, What if, just what if everything you think is wrong? What if everything that you believe right now is based upon misinformation? It's based on information that has been handed down generation to generation from people who didn't originate it to begin with. Wow. What if we can look at our judgments? And I'm not talking about I prefer chocolate ice cream to vanilla. It's a wonderful way of making a judgment, a personal judgment. This is my space. This is my experience. These are the people and the things that I enjoy interacting with. That's wonderful. Use your judgment power that way. But what I'm talking about is this criticism, this doing battle with other people, getting all wrapped up. I got so tickled. A person on Facebook that I had been click Facebook friends with for a couple years, she posted this thing, you know, just go ahead and unfriend me now if you blah, 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 blah. And I wrote her, I said, well, I'm not going to unfriend you, but if you'd like to unfriend me, that's fine. I do disagree with you on some things, but that's wonderful. That's, you know, everybody doesn't want to use cinnamon. Everybody doesn't want to use nutmeg or turmeric, you know. And she kind of laughed. She said, I'm not going to unfriend you, you know. She said, I just got caught up in the moment because people are getting so angry over Trump or Bernie or Hillary. Really? I mean, we're going to unfriend people? Because of a political puppet that's being presented to us by the very people who are in control of our society. And they're in control of our society because we're falling for that very old game of it's us against them. Us against them. You know, now the threat, it's Muslims. That's what it is. It's those Muslims. Now, back 10, 15 years ago, it was the illegal aliens. They were doing it. They were taking all the American jobs. If you were out of work, if you were going through bankruptcy, it wasn't because you had given your power away and the bankers had invested crappy investments and lost all the money on things that they knew was crappy, and the American people were put on the hook to pay more taxes to keep the big banks from failing. No, that wasn't it. It was because of illegal aliens. And I asked back then, how many of you who are angry and afraid of the illegal aliens taking your jobs want to come down here in the South in 100-degree weather and throw watermelons, pick peas, pick tomatoes? I got several farmers. I'll give you their number. They're looking for help. How many of you who say it's the illegal aliens taking your jobs want to clean homes, clean bathrooms, clean parking lots? Really? What job of yours that you want are they taking? Well, it's the same now with the Muslims. They're what you're supposed to be afraid of. And if we will stop for a minute and just disengage emotionally from what's being presented to us to be afraid of and say, huh, is that even true? Is it even real? Does that even really affect me? Or am I being played through fear to just stay afraid of the next threat? To fear my fellow man. To fear the people that I don't even know. To find judgment and to fear the people that I see walking down the street who live differently than me, dress differently than me. And what would happen? What would happen if just for an hour or two, just for an hour or two, you sat and looked at your fear, looked at the judgments that you were making about others and about things. We judge this is good, that is bad. And that very act of predetermining whether something is good or bad, right or wrong, conditions the molecules to create that very experience for ourselves. So what if, instead of getting caught up in that energy of judgment, we stopped and said, where am I judging myself to be wrong, to be less than, to be not good enough? Because see, here's the kicker, and I told this to a close family friend back years ago who was very upset, you know, at people who were not Christian like she was. And I said, now, let me ask you something. Do you know in your heart that you are right, that the way that you believe about God is right? And she said, yes, I do. I said, then why are you not in peace with that? Why are you not in joy with that? If you know for an absolute fact that you are 100% right, that God loves you, that you have been accepted by God, then why are you not rejoicing in that and living the example of that? Why does it bother you, anger you, stir up fear in you that there are people who do not agree with you? She had no answer. So that's my question to you today. If you know that you are right, then where is the judgment, where is the anger, where is the fear coming from? And I will tell you where it's coming from. It's within you. And it's not about other people. It's about you. It's all about you. Your whole world is a reflection of what's inside you, what you believe, what you hold to be true. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I do appreciate you, and I invite you to go check out my newest offering for self-healing. If you'll go to consciousnesspower.com, you will see an opportunity there to work through a journey back to self. It's a self-healing course. It takes you through all the chakras. It teaches you how to work with stones and crystals, to work with color. It helps you to get to the root of why you believe what you believe. And even more importantly, it helps you to release those limits that you've held on to your whole life so that you can live free, so that you can master your life, so that you can create your life the way that you want to live it. It is one of the most powerful things that I've done, well, since I wrote the book. Go to consciousnesspower.com. Have a look around. See what I offer there. Take part in the journey course. It is a one-time fee. Right now is an introductory special. You pay one price, and you can be a member for your life if you like. And I will be regularly adding new material to it. There's a chat there where you can make questions and comments to me. I've also got a Facebook group where you can interact with me and with other people taking part in the course. So check it out. It's time, boys and girls. It's time for us to heal and to master our own lives, to remember who we are. I love you, and I am here to remind you to love yourself well. Be good to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Treat yourself with dignity and respect. And what you're going to notice is that within a very short period of time, others show up to treat you exactly the new way that you're treating yourself, and it makes it a lot easier to treat others that way too. Peace. Bye-bye.